Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema. This is Cinema Wars with your host DJ Ace, only here on WMCO. Welcome to another round of Cinema Wars. I'm DJ Ace, and this is the 8th round, which is incredible. We are like halfway through the semester, so that means we're getting ever closer to the victor of this season of Cinema Wars. I got 3 contestants here with me, and they are going to argue about cinema. I have a question for them. They're going to shoot out their option, and then they have to prove why their choice is better than the other two, and I'll be judging on creativity and argument. So here are your contestants. I have Anna.
Hey.
Logan.
Yo.
And Chad.
I'm sorry for everything today.
And he's sorry, apparently. Okie dokie. So the question at hand this week is pretty cool, in my opinion. What is the best film by director Quentin Tarantino? The dude's a legend in cinema for doing all sorts of new crazy things, and he's a master at it. So we're going to be talking about his movies tonight. All right, so Anna, you are first. What movie did you pick?
I picked Pulp Fiction.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I'm changing mine, though.
Jeez, that's why you have a backup. Chad, what are you picking?
I'll just make it easier on Logan. I'll pick Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, thank goodness.
If you're going to pick Django Unchained, that's what I was. That was my second pick.
Yes.
And Logan can breathe easy. What did you pick, Logan?
I picked Django Unchained because it is the only movie I've seen of his. But, yeah, I am picking Django Unchained.
I'm proud of you.
I get bonus points for helping out Logan.
No, you don't. Okay.
No.
Automatic 2 points.
Logan just got lucky because he's supposed to have a backup.
Retroactively.
I apologize for not being fully prepared.
Okay. Jeez, this is... Why are we apologizing? This is Cinema Wars.
You're
okay.
All a mess.
Okay. All right, well, those are the choices. I've actually seen all of these. I'm actually well-versed in the Quentin Tarantino film verse, so this should be exciting for me as well. Now, begin.
So mine's the best.
Was that it?
Oh, wait, is this
is the part
me?
Where you argue, yeah.
Yeah, no, somebody else argue first. I'm better at, like...
So, Django Unchained is a really great movie.
Wait. Is that Django or Django?
I say Django, like the D is silent.
I know the D is silent. It's a joke in the movie.
It's actually Django.
Whatever.
It's not.
Whatever.
All right, continue.
Usually I don't watch movies like Django Unchained. I'm usually more for like a family friendly. Yeah, Call Me Sheltered or something. But
do you even watch movies at all?
Yes, I do watch movies. Thank you very much. But Django Unchained, I watched it at a friend's house from beginning to end and...
Cried.
No, I did not. I actually liked it.
You actually liked it. That's good defense of your movie.
No,
surprisingly, the movie I'm defending right now was good.
No, I mean, I know a lot of people liked it. And, I mean, it has Leonardo DiCaprio in it. How could you not like it?
That means nothing.
Pulp Fiction has everybody in it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I apologize for not seeing it, so.
Well, that's your disadvantage, isn't it?
But yeah, Django Unchained, even though there are some historical inaccuracies in it, it is a fantastic movie full of action, especially the scene in DiCaprio's character's giant mansion on the plantation where there's just the giant shootout. I will get to that later, but DiCaprio was great. Denzel Washington was great. Even Samuel Jackson was great. I loved it. And, I mean, most everything DiCaprio is in is great. So,
why did you say it like even Samuel L. Jackson was great? Like, you say that like he's a horrible
Samuel
actor.
Jackson,
like, he's,
Logan.
He is awesome. I don't know why you're saying it that weird.
But do you have...
I apologize for my wording. I mean,
you just made it sound really like you... like.
There's my...
Just hasn't to like.
All right, Chad, let's hear about Reservoir Dogs. The first Tarantino film, by the way.
The first good one?
No, the first one, period.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good first one then if it's his first one. Wow. Okay. Well, Quentin Tarantino is actually in his own movie. and he plays Mr. Brown, which means nothing to anyone at this point. But basically, the movie's about it's a crime gone wrong where the cops were called and everyone figures that out, but they don't know who did it or anything otherwise. They know or someone's, I think Mr. Pink, played by Steve Buscemi, who is a great actor and dies in it, obviously, because he dies in every single movie he's in. And that's a fact 80% of the time. But regardless, the whole movie is about trying to figure out why this crime went wrong and trying to figure out who, if any, in this movie is responsible for the crime going wrong. And it's just a great like mystery movie pretty much for the like the whole ride of it. And the ending is just such a great twist. And you may or may not expect it, but there's I've watched so many things about how subtle the hints are and how each single person each has their own trait. And it just goes directly into the outcome of the movie. And it, if you watch it like a second or third time knowing this, you'll pick up on it. And it just makes the movie so much more great for it.
Okay, well, so you've got all that going on as if you're like, okay, it has all, it's the crime going wrong and stuff. And you're saying how it's got a couple of good actors. Pulp Fiction has all of those times like 50. Okay, there's like 50 million things going on. You've got like five different crimes happening. Yeah, sorry, I just got confused. But you've got like the five different things happening, or is it?
Well, that doesn't necessarily make it better. It just means it's a bunch of different things spliced together. Like it could very well just be one movie, except.
Well, yeah, but it's basically taking your movie and like multiplying the plot 10 times. Essentially.
Well, that doesn't mean it's better. It just
why
means
would I
want
it more? It's more interesting and creative, and it gets better every time you watch it because you can pick up more things.
That's literally what I just said.
Why would that's what I'm saying.
Why would I want five plots in the same movie? Why
because it makes you think, and intelligent people like to think.
Wow, that's awkward.
Are you not intelligent?
Oh wow, so that is hurtful. That is very hurtful.
This is a war.
We're getting there. The war meter's kind of low at this point.
I'll give Pulp Fiction like the iconic factor, but Reservoir Dogs like is like basically his like first movie apparently, and
it is
okay. And just because it's his first movie and it's like so great, it's just a testament to how good of a director he is. And I mean.
He's a great director because he had a first movie.
No, not necessarily.
So all directors are good.
No, there you could have. No, most directors have duds before they make it big. But
all directors are created equal.
No, that's not true.
No, jeez.
That's the point you were making then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Based on his argument, you were. Basically saying,
okay, I'm just let's move on. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, yes, please. Let's move on. Chad.
Okay, where Pulp Fiction jumps around, Reservoir Dogs basically it starts off at the end and then it just retells all the events leading up to how that happened. And then towards the end of the movie, it reaches up to present and finishes off, which for like a mystery movie, it's pretty great to see how all these things you can pick up on some of these. Facts like there's one person that's been shot and he's just unconscious at the beginning of the movie, but then and no one suspects that he would be the person that got ratted out, because as far as the audience knows, he was shot by the police, so why would the police shoot the person that would be the rat? But it turns out as the movie unfolds, the person that got shot actually got shot trying to carjack a woman and unexpectedly was shot with a tiny little handgun. So you're thinking to yourself, well, at this point, this guy could have done it because he wasn't necessarily shot by the police, and everyone else has been questioned about this, and it's, as far as we know, it's been determined that no one like that's been able to defend themselves was guilty. So it just really gets really intense at the end because they're starting to crack down on who it actually is, and it just turns into a big standoff with one person is trying to defend this person that thinks with all his heart that this person's innocent and like a good kid, because throughout the entire movie the person that got shot has been getting to know this person and got gained like a really big bond with this person defending him. And it's just like really emotional because you're starting to figure out that this guy is starting to get into denial that the person that got shot wasn't the one that did it. And spoiler alert, the person that got shot is the person that ratted everything out. And
it's awkward.
And also in like a staple. Oh yeah, I didn't even mention all these different staples that are in all of his movies. There's always one scene where a bunch of different people are having a standoff and it just ends horribly for everyone. And also they use way too much like blood and it sprays everywhere, like almost comically. And it, like even in Django Unchained, there was a scene where there was a standoff and the blood went everywhere in it.
I mean, he's pretty known for doing stuff like
yeah.
that.
But I'm saying this is the movie where he cemented that trait.
I mean, yeah, that's one thing I liked. I mean, that's going to make me sound like a terrible person for saying that, but that's one of the things I liked about the movie was, yeah, it has this very serious tone to it, but it also throws a net comedic effect of, yeah, we're just going to have these over-the-top deaths, but it's still a very serious story. So.
Well, I mean, the deaths are comical, but I would say in Kill Bill, they're the most comical, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's basically, like, the peak of us all, but just the root of it comes from Reservoir Dogs, and that's basically where...
That's just because it's his first movie. It's the root of everything, like...
Well, there's certain things that... like Pulp Fiction, how it would set up, like you would get that from Reservoir Dogs, that the plotting or how they show you the events of a story is all messed up. But by the time you get to Pulp Fiction, it's just like so like almost incoherent and like all the scenes play out of order. Then it just
that's what makes it so incredible. Like, I've never seen another movie pull that off. White as good as Pulp Fiction does. I dare you.
Well, I don't know. It's just
exactly because there isn't one.
When I watch Pulp Fiction and I can't remember his name, the dude from Grease.
John Travolta, yeah, Vincent.
Yeah. So
your movies.
Yeah, but like you watch this movie and like he dies halfway through it, and then in the next scene he's alive again, and it's just like, all right, we know he's gonna die now. That's depressing. We're just watching this movie knowing there's a dead person playing this role.
Well, yeah.
Like, I don't see the purpose of that.
I got nothing there.
plot twists aren't new, Chad.
It's not a plot twist. It's, you know, it's he dies, opposite. But then they show scenes before he dies.
Oh, okay. The way you worded it, it made it sound...
Like, there's a certain scene where he dies,
but you feel things though, because it's like, oh, he's dead, and I have to watch him do things, and it's like really, and that's what a good movie does. It gets you in the feels.
I didn't really feel for it though. It was just
just a heartless one, aren't you?
It was funny though how he died though, because a toaster popped up and he shot the guy.
The Pop Tart popped out of the toaster.
You know, that's probably how I'm going to die.
Death by
you know, you guys make a good point because, you know, your movie jumps around with the timeline. Yours jumps around with the timeline, but yours, Logan's pretty linear, if I recall. Right?
Kind of.
Elaborate.
But, I mean, you can see, I like those kinds of movies. You're able to follow everything as you go along in the movie.
There's a certain pleasure you get from just like being like, this makes sense now. I didn't know what was happening 5 minutes ago, but now I feel smart because I realize what's happening. And there's just a certain gratification.
It just sort of feels to me like it's a bunch of like short stories just compiled together. And it's like, all right, that was a great bunch of short stories that feel like a big overarching thing.
To make one big, awesome story.
If you tried to like plot it out on a plot line where the rising action conflict and the falling action is, it would the conflict would end like in the first like third of the movie, and then the rest of the thing is just two other stories, and then there's another scene where the beginning people get the movie just gets resolved and nothing really happens.
All right, well, we're going to have to hold that thought because we're going to go to a brief break here on Cinema Wars here on WMCO. But when we come back, we declare the winner of the round and we will start the bonus round. So keep it here on 90.7.
Travel back in time and learn what happened today in history with me, Nikki Skeens. Tune in on Thursday evenings from 8 to 10 for great new music. Also listen to the Muskie Sports Blast, news, and weather updates only here on WMCO 90.7.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The Saturday Light Brigade is a program that airs every Saturday on WMCO. Broadcasting live from Pittsburgh, the program uses games, activities, and storytelling to help children learn communication skills and creative thinking in a fun environment, while also promoting community engagement. Gather your family and tune in to 90.7 FM for the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturdays from 6 till noon.
Cinema Wars rages on here on WMCO 90.7 with your host, DJ Ace.
And we're back with more Cinema Wars with Anna, Chad, and Logan. We're discussing best Quentin Tarantino films, and we're going to wrap this conversation up with the winner after a few final points and then the bonus round. So we were just talking about continuity and timelines, and Tarantino, of course, is a director known for messing around with traditional storytelling to begin with. So wherever you guys want to pick up.
I would just say that throughout this movie, it basically goes from you're scared of the police from to you're scared of what the other people are going to do to each other. So it's really interesting dynamic to see a film like transition just from knowing more things as it goes along, that it's going to be more and more uncertain and you're not sure if the people that you're rooting for are going to make it out alive. And that's like with Pulp Fiction, you abruptly learn that, nope, this person isn't going to make it out alive. And the movie...
And then but then you have to suffer with the fact that you know they're dead, but you still like see them doing plot things. And it's sad.
I know. But I don't know. I think the way that Reservoir Dogs ends is just so great because it's the person that was defending the rat is learns that from the rat that he did inform the police. So the police are about to barge in. The informant is shot and dying, and the police could save him if his friend wouldn't do anything, but the way it goes, the police bust in, and the person that was just risked his life for a rat is just sitting there with pointing a gun to the rat's head, and you just don't know what's going to happen by the end of it. And it's just the most like intense scene of like the entire movie, and probably one of the most intense scenes from any of his movies. And it's just really one of like the greatest highlights of the movie.
All right, Logan, I need to hear more about Django.
Django's awesome. No.
It's long.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
unlike your answer.
I mean, oh, okay. I see how it is. But no, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The movie, I love the movie from beginning to end. I like how.
The movie you've seen.
Quiet, you.
So if it's the best one and you've only seen one, that's kind of like saying you're my favorite mother, Mom.
okay. Out. But no, I love the relationship between Django and the person that ends up buying him and how it
That sounds great.
No, how...
It's 1800s America. It has slavery. Continue.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering the time... I mean, yeah, it's the time of slavery, so usually there's not that relationship between the slave and their owner, and the only reason he owns him is so that he can free him. So they end up creating that bond unexplicably so that he can free him.
It's
a safe, yes.
And then becomes a bounty hunter.
They didn't form a friendship just because the dude with the tooth cart was so really happy about Django existing. They formed a partnership so the tooth guy could find someone.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate the character of the tooth guy?
I don't know his name. I just remember
his name either.
At the beginning of the movie, he had a cart with a big tooth on it.
Yeah.
So he's forever known as Tooth Guy.
Tooth Guy.
Well, he like traveled as a dentist or something, right?
Bounty hunter dentist.
Yeah,
I guess.
It was really
well,
weird.
The dentist was like his cover.
Yeah.
Because he was in the South and he needed a cover, so he went around as a dentist and yeah,
broke people's teeth.
Yeah.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that bites.
Oh
now, no! Goodbye. Minus five. Goodbye.
When I think about Django, though, I really have to just talk about that iconic scene that Leonardo DiCaprio improv.
That's not even
yes, improv. Yes. That is
you
another.
You know what I'm talking about?
That is another great thing in the movie where wasn't it like glass broke or something? And
he like cut his hand,
and then his I don't want to say butler. It wasn't the butler that Jackson played. It was wasn't it the girl that Django was trying to save? Yeah. Or was it some older woman?
It was the girl.
Yeah, I just know that there's one character there that where the actual actor knew that his hand was actually cut, and so her true emotion was shown through that. She knew that his hand was cut.
He wiped it on her face, too.
Yeah.
With that, real blood.
Yeah.
That's really
that's not
weird.
Sanitary.
Shows you how desperately he wanted that Oscar at the time.
Dude, he wanted that Oscar for years.
He didn't get it.
He had to sleep in a dead horse to get that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And get mauled by an animatronic bear, basically.
Honestly, I think they just felt sorry for him by the sixth time around. Like, that's Peter.
And he didn't have that much competition, but still.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great performance by DiCaprio, even though he wasn't in it terribly long.
What?
Terribly long, he said.
Well, in a 3-hour movie, sure.
he
was not in there very long.
See, I guess you could argue this movie was a little long then, like too much for a typical movie.
Was that an attempted pun?
No.
No, maybe. That wasn't.
I mean, I like, would if you're
I was wondering where he was going with
it.
It
was a bit of a slog, sure, but it was still enjoyable for the whole thing, I think.
I watched it on like Netflix a couple of times, and like throughout it, there would just be scenes of just them walking or something, and I would just tune out. It's just not interesting at certain points.
Yeah, no walk in the park.
Yeah, because it's like the
two for
desert.
Two.
Well, it's the South.
Yeah, it's the South. Outside of Gatlinburg, I believe.
The Southern
by
Desert.
By the way, my second home. But
okay.
Ooh.
What?
What? It's where my family is.
Stay on topic.
Oh, anyway, man. Yes. Anna, your movie.
Yeah, Anna, Pulp Fiction, one more time. Let's talk about it.
Well, I mean,
I keep talking about these actors. Who's in it?
Okay, you've got pretty much everybody here. You've got John Travolta. You've got Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis. I'm drawing a blank.
Couple other people.
There's other people whose names escape me at the moment, but they're important. And I think it's just really cool to have so many really well-respected actors.
Uma Thurman. Just,
what?
Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, him.
You don't even know your own movie. You lose.
I do.
It's a her.
Wait, oh, right, okay, sorry.
She's the one that overdosed.
All right, yeah. Right.
That guy.
Oh, boy.
Did I say him?
Yeah.
Oh. Uma Thurman. Yeah, him.
I was not paying attention.
Oh, boy. Well, it's a pretty fantastic film.
Yeah.
You didn't know that. You just.
I totally knew that.
Okay, well, I'm going to wrap up this discussion on that note. overall, I'm for argument, I am going to have to give this one to Chad. He did a pretty good job, even though I did give you the point about it's being his first movie. But you did.
I I'm gonna look it up.
You did talk about the other two enough that it worked out, and you two just didn't say enough about your own movie. So,
who said more?
What?
We still need to figure out who got second.
No one cares.
There's no second. This is Cinema Wars. There's no second place in war.
It's closure for me.
There's no closure. But you can redeem yourself because it is time for the bonus question. So we're going to do this in a different order now. Chad, you are last. So we're actually going to start with Logan, then Anna, then Chad. The bonus question is best death in a Quentin Tarantino film. So you get about a minute to talk to me about it. So, Logan, what's your pick?
Well, I have two options here. I could either
you
go...
You only need one.
Yeah, I know. I was going to go with the big brawl at the end of the scene after DiCaprio's character is killed. Oh, wait, spoiler alert. But because that seems like the obvious one where just people are coming from left and right and not... or they're coming from left and right and are just being killed by Django. But I will go with DiCaprio's character being killed by Django's, the person that frees Django, or attempts to free Django, because it just seemed unexpected at the time, and it just happened so quickly. And with DiCaprio being such a big name, I was surprised to see his character die off that quick.
Okie doke. Anna, what did you pick?
Well, we already really talked about it, actually, but I was going to pick the death in Pulp Fiction where John Travolta's character essentially gets killed by a toaster, because I just think it's... I mean, he doesn't actually get killed by the toaster, but the toaster causes it. I just think it's really funny because it's just like, you know this character, you've gotten to know this character by now, and then it's like, he walks, he's like, oh, okay, it's this guy, and then all of a sudden he's dead. I need to stop. I'm going to leave.
Okay, Chad, what did you pick?
Oh, I'm definitely going for Hitler dying. Because in that movie, which will remain unnamed, basically, for this whole movie, it's like historical, but you don't know that it's changing. Because by the end of it, Hitler dies, which he does not die. I mean, no, he does die, but he doesn't get murdered with a machine gun in a movie theater, and then the movie theater gets set on fire, killing a bunch of Nazis, which is basically like the greatest thing to ever see in cinema, because unless you're in the cinema and it's on fire.
Chad.
But yeah, it's two like almost unimportant characters that just run in like sort of like John Wilkes Booth style and just mow down Hitler and his little booth thing on the side of the theater. Which is just so wonderful to see it, because you get to see everything, and there's nothing left to the imagination of Hitler just getting his head blown off by machine gun fire.
All right. Well, between those three choices, there's really only one way to go. Another point goes to Chad. Boom.
Ooh.
All right, that is actually about all on Cinema Wars, so thanks for tuning in, and we will be back next week here on WMCU 90.7, 10 o'clock on Monday nights.
Next time on Cinema Wars, what is the worst movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? The views and opinions expressed on Cinema Wars are not associated with Muskingum University, Orbit Media, WMCO, Orbit TV, and the Black and Magenta. The war is far from over. Tune in next week at 10 in the evening here on WMCO 90.7 for the next round of Cinema Wars.